You're listening to the Busted Wide Open Podcast, dropping the elbow on the hottest topics in sports entertainment and the world of professional wrestling, with your hosts, Nick Howell and Sir Ian Dangerous, coming to you from the Orbital Jigsaw Network Arena in sunny Southern California. Welcome back to the Busted Wide Open Podcast. This is episode number 2. I am your host, Nick Howell. Sitting across from me in the crimson mask, like he always does, Sir Ian Dangerous. How are you, sir?
Covered in gore, as always. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Well, I'm excited to be back. We've got Backlash coming up. We're going to talk all about that stuff and do some fantasy predictions. But first, let's talk about what's going to happen on Saturday before Backlash. We've got a big NXT event called TakeOver. We're going to dive into that quite a bit.
TakeOver Chicago. Can you imagine that audience? Oh, my God.
That's the anomaly for me, is having it in Chicago. So probably going to get some CM Punk chants. Won't be surprised if we do that. We saw some interesting things develop from last week. SmackDown Live did some interesting stuff. Maybe not circling the drain and in that holding pattern like they kind of have been for a while.
They've had a long time to build up to this pay-per-view. Yes. I feel bad for them for having to take that, to stretch everything out that long, especially the Ziggler-Nakamura build has just been stretched out way too longer than it needs to be, but that's the schedule they gave themselves. So, you know, this week I just wanted to see if they were going to be able to give us a good go-home show for it. I wanted to see if Raw was better than last week. Last week was a little bit of a downer show. Not as much. It wasn't very good. So hopefully Raw can have a comeback this week. Also, a bunch of really cool indie stuff is happening right now. NXT is doing its go-home show as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Plus, got to do our picks for who's winning what matches this weekend.
Oh, yes.
Huge weekend coming up.
Oh, yes.
And it's going to be a lot of fun stuff to discuss there.
Hey, there's a new special on the WWE Network about Finn Balor, his injury, and the recovery thing. Great little documentary. Looking forward to seeing that.
Finn Balor 24. Yeah,
yes, man. I am really excited to see that. So check that out on the WWE Network when you get a chance. But first, let's lead in and talk about some Monday Night Raw.
So we start off Raw this week, and we have been booked a fatal five-way at Extreme Rules. We got 3 weeks to build up for Extreme Rules. They've got five dudes now in the main event for who's going to be the number one contender for Brock Lesnar.
You can hear his just jowls just flapping. He's turning into a walrus, that guy. I swear he is. Yes. As much as we want to talk about Backlash this week, we cannot excuse the build up to lead up to Extreme Rules, which is actually one of my favorite minor pay per views of the year. You see a lot of my favorites were always ECW and the hardcore matches and WWF. So I love Extreme Rules because you get all of these kind of crazy twists and turns. What do we got going on? What's the lineup so far?
So right now we've got this fatal five way. The five people means that, as far as building to it, either you've got everyone getting thrown at each other or you're going to have an odd man out. This week, the way they booked everything, Samoa Joe was the odd man out. He didn't have a match this week, which, again, he's being underutilized. And they keep doing this enforcer thing with him and Seth. Him and Seth have a program, which, like we said last week, is getting a little stale.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I want to see Joe get in a good feud with somebody. I want to see Joe work, man. The guy is so talented. He looked good last week when him and Seth had a match. And I feel like this fatal five-way throwing together, they're obviously, this is their answer for Strowman not being here. Let's take all of our top guys and throw them at each other. I don't know what's going to be quote-unquote extreme about this match other than there's just no DQ, countouts. So we'll see tables. We'll see some high spots. It'll actually probably be a good match.
I'm really looking forward to this one because when you have no countouts, no DQ, you have five guys scrambling in the ring to pin somebody or submit somebody, and you're always going to have the guys jumping in. Those always turn out to be
really great
matches. Yeah.
It's going to be chaos, and you've got five just really good workers in this match, so that could be a really exciting match. I'm actually, as far as the things they could have done, this is going to be great. It's just, in my opinion, I think the next couple of weeks building to I want this tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want this match tomorrow. The build to Extreme Rules, it's going to be 3 weeks of just watching these guys bounce off each other.
Well, you brought up Strowman. That's an interesting one. So last week we talked about how Roman Reigns came in and beat him up with a chair and stood tall in the ring and all that stuff and scared him, shoot him away. This week we kind of got a little bit more news around that. I think they're working an angle where he's going to be out for 6 months, but I would not be surprised if he's back in time.
For they said he's out for 6 months. Eh. And I agree with you. I think that's a work. I think Strowman will have a early return. I don't think it'll be as soon as Extreme Rules. Maybe Extreme Rules
is Braun Strowman. That pay-per-view just screams of just.
But isn't that? But I think that's going to be too much. You got five guys in a five-way match. Braun comes out at the end and does some shit.
I would not be surprised if
that's
he does
kitchen
a sinky. Entrance.
I don't think you need it though. Is my point. I don't think with these five guys, I don't think you need to have him come out interfere that in that match. I think honestly, you'll see him. I think he'll come out at, and I shudder to say it. Great balls of fire whoever wins this five-way match goes on to face Brock. I think that's when you'll see Braun come back out and make his presence felt again and then build up towards him and Lesnar.
Yeah.
That's my hunch. Obviously, we'll wait and see.
On the tag team side of things, though, last week we talked about the tag team turmoil and how it just kind of we played everybody down to build up Cesaro. It still hurts to say it. Sheamus and Cesaro. We had Sheamus in singles action with Jeff Hardy this week.
Shocker.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
What did you think of this? Was it necessary? Did we need this up to a tag team championship match?
No, this is the same thing, like I said, they're going to do with the five guys in the five-way match. We're going to see them all bounce off each other for the next couple of weeks. They're doing the same thing with the tag division. We've just buried the entire division, and we've told the audience, the WWE universe, we've told them that the only people that matter in the tag division are Sheamus and Cesaro and the Hardy Boys. These are the only people that matter right now. So, of course, we're going to watch them go back and forth and bounce off of each other for the next couple of weeks. We're not seeing any development with Matt and Jeff because we're waiting on Broken Matt, which, you know what? I'm fine. If it comes over, it'll be great. I hope. But in the meantime, you know, we're not really seeing a ton of evolution with Sheamus and Cesaro's heel characters.
Yeah.
I like them working heel. Like I said, you know, this match pretty much was, well, Sheamus kicked out Jeff's tooth. And so he's just big and mean. He's going to beat the crap out of Jeff. And then he just loses clean.
So for the people that might not know, for our listeners, what is the Broken Matt thing all about?
The Broken Matt thing. So when they were in TNA, mm-hmm. which is now Impact,
yes.
Matt came up with this just goony idea and created this whole what he calls the Broken Universe, where he went off and did his own little what he called the Final Deletion, which was him and Jeff having a match in this ring in the woods because Matt had gone crazy and Jeff was trying to bring him back from being nuts, and this whole world that Matt created with his wife and his infant boy and everyone, and it was completely goony and made little to no sense, but was you couldn't tear your eyes off of it.
Okay.
It's one of those things. I think I read a thing this week where one of the guys backstage, you know, when they first came out with it, one of the guys backstage at WWE brought everyone over, was showing it to people backstage. You got like an advanced copy or something. And you know, they said, "Oh, what is it?" And he said, "Imagine if WWE did something awful, but it worked."
Mm, okay.
And that's pretty much what it was. You know, he went off and did one of these out of the box things that was just so weird and so goony, but right. for some reason, it just freaking worked.
And out of that, we got the delete.
We got delete. We got Brother Nero. We got all these catchphrases. And this great little world, this great crazy world, and Matt with his enormous teeth. In a weird accent, talking wonderful, just delightful. I can watch it over and over again. It's just so entertaining.
What's going on with Miz and Dean Ambrose this week with the around the Intercontinental title? We're going to have a match with them, but...
We had a match with them. We had an Intercontinental match, Intercontinental Championship match at 9 o'clock, early in the show. And that was really weird to me. You know, this is the one belt that's being... the major belt that's being defended on Raw, and we're going to see a match at 9 p.m. I mean, are they trying to bring people over from the basketball game? I didn't understand this. It to me, it kind of devalues the title. Although it was a good match. You know, they had a screwy finish, which sets up for Extreme Rules. Fine, yeah. They're not going to change the belt on a Raw. Sadly, I remember the days when they did, and
it was a DQ, right?
It was a DQ. Yes, Miz went for a strong style inner thigh grab, and Dean caught him. And then gave him a kick to the jabronis of his own, yeah. And then got himself DQ'd. That was a Corey Graves call. That was just, I was on the floor in stitches.
The kick to the jabronis?
The inner thigh, the inner strong thigh
grab.
Style
grab.
Oh, yes. God, it was great.
That was good.
But, Dean can be sluggish. He can be boring in matches. This was a fast-paced match. It was an energetic match. It was entertaining. Him and The Miz did a good job. And I don't care about the screwy finish. A lot of people these days are bitching when it's not a straight finish. Like, you know, Neville and Austin Aries had a screwy finish at the last pay-per-view where Neville pulled over the ref and the ref called for the DQ and everyone was saying, oh, why can't they have a real finish? No, they're continuing the feud. This is how they continue the feud.
Right.
This is how wrestling works. You continue the feud by having a screwy finish and the heel gets away with it. The heel doesn't get what they want in this case with Miz. And they have another match that's announced at Extreme Rules. A match that makes very little sense to me being on a card called Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
It's a match. If there's a DQ, the title changes hands. And isn't this supposed to be a pay-per-view about no DQ going extreme? But now,
isn't that the point though? Maybe is to show the significance of the no DQ at Extreme Rules.
Maybe by context. I don't know. I feel like, okay, so we're going to have a little interference from Maurice,
yeah,
or whatever. I don't know. I mean,
I think it's a work. I think it's a setup to highlight the significance of Extreme Rules as being no disqualification.
Maybe, but why aren't these guys having a ladder match? Why aren't they having a tables match? Why aren't they having weapons? I don't know. It's whatever. Something else that is Extreme Rules.
It's 2017. Rule. Now Extreme Rules is you just go fight out in the crowd. That's
right.
It.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so extreme.
No more sledgehammers and trash cans and barbed wire and none of that stuff. It's just, oh, God, there's no more countouts.
Jesus, can you imagine if there's a flaming table? The crowd, there would be yes. aneurysms all
Mick
over
Foley
the crowd.
Would come back. Good luck, Mick. Good luck on the hip surgery.
Yeah, man. Get better.
Let's move over to the women's division because, some interesting stuff is going on over here. Last week, we talked about how they were kind of throwing everybody out there all at the same time to get TV time. But
on SmackDown and on Raw.
Yeah. Look, we didn't have some great... the girls aren't as good on the mics as the guys are sometimes. So
Alexa Bliss killed it this week.
I agree.
Killed it. Bayley, however, is still struggling on the mic. She's never really been, that great on the mic, even back in NXT. But in NXT, that they took that and made that a strength of her character. They hid her weaknesses. They played to her strengths. Her strength was that her character was the kind of nerdy girl, like
shy, kind of introvert,
awkward. And she couldn't win a match. She was the ultimate underdog. She didn't win big matches. And so when she finally did in that amazing match with Sasha, it was a huge payoff. It made her this great success character. And now we're on the, she gets brought to the main roster, and right off the bat, we're given this dominant babyface
character.
And
she's the champ all of a sudden, like two weeks after she shows up.
She wins it. Then she wins at WrestleMania after already having won the title earlier. It's just been botched booking with her since she got here, and now she comes out with Alexa Bliss, who just, is killing her on the mic at this point. And Alexa just looks so much better than she does in every aspect.
Yep.
And it sucks because I think Bayley is talented. I think that she's a great wrestler. I think that her character can work, but it's just not going to the way that they're booking her right Now,
I think the mistake was not putting her on SmackDown right off the bat. I think Alexa coming to Raw is a perfect move. Brilliant. I think Charlotte coming to Raw is a perfect move. I think Bayley,
Charlotte going to SmackDown is a great move. They needed that over there.
Yes, I'm sorry. But
honestly, I am looking forward to seeing Bayley and Alexa wrestle. I think that'll be a good wrestling match, or it has the potential to be. But I think that the stipulation, Kendo on a pole match. Somewhere Vince Russo is just
yeah, exactly. Yes,
I love it. So yeah, we'll see. I liked the Kendo hit that Alexa gave to Bayley.
Yes,
it was one hit, and Bayley sold it like she got shot. like, can we have an actual beatdown? No. Okay. All right.
No.
So we'll see what happens with that. We've got obviously 3 weeks to build this match. So we'll see what happens.
I think, and maybe Bayley, let's not prejudge Bayley too much. I think Bayley might be playing along here and they're really just pushing Alexa super hard, which I could get behind.
Yeah.
As the champ and as being kind of the heely bitch that she is, the character that she's playing right now, it's working. It's working really, really well. I think she's super over with the crowd and with the universe right now, definitely with me. We'll leave that for another show. That's a different podcast altogether. But yeah, I want to talk about Finn Balor. I think last week I mentioned that I was kind of over Finn Balor at this point, unless they turn him around in some kind of way. Somehow he still loses to an injured Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I don't see what the upside is to this.
This was the prodigal son a year ago coming out of WWE, or I'm sorry, coming out of NXT, and in the first 2 weeks was the WWE Universal Champion.
He beat Roman Reigns, and he beat, I think, Seth Rollins. He beat someone else big.
It was Seth Rollins.
It was Seth Rollins.
Yeah, you're right.
That injured him.
And that was, he got the title that night, but he had to
he ran the gauntlet, went through every big person on the roster and won the Universal Championship, and then boom, same night loses it, which sucked, total tragedy for him.
I don't know if he's going to turn it around though.
That's the thing. They bring him back. He's kind of doing a bunch of squashes for a couple of weeks. Now he's back in the main title picture. Kind of, he's calling out Brock Lesnar, which just visually is a mismatch to me. That's the ultimate downside to Finn, is that, you know, unless you make him look like he is just so strong and so quick, you can't put him in the same ring as Braun Strowman. And that's something that the announcers even called out this week. They kept saying how small he was over and over and over again. And if I wasn't already thinking it, they're driving it home. And then you have him lose to Roman, so a nearly one-armed Roman Reigns, giving Roman his win back from that night a year ago. I don't get this. Like, are they trying to bury Finn? Are they going to give him this back at some point? Right now, him losing clean in the middle of the ring to an injured Roman Reigns does not make a whole ton of sense.
For me, when they brought him back, when was that? 6 weeks ago?
Something like that.
It was right before Mania?
Something
was it
like
after?
That. Yeah. I forget.
I would have had made a huge deal out of it, made it a big surprise, maybe even have the Demon come out.
It was the night after WrestleMania, I think he came back.
You're right. Yeah, it was right after WrestleMania. Yeah. Have the Demon come out, just fuck with everybody, and just, oh my god!
I'm glad they don't do the Demon more than they do. That should be
That would have been a special thing, and all of a sudden, all the hype for Finn Balor is back, and I don't think him coming.
I think he had enough hype coming back just as he did after WrestleMania. He came out with a bunch of hype, and that's what's weird about this. They brought him back with
bookings.
They brought him back the night after WrestleMania, the night they bring all their big. Like, hey, check this out. Holy shit, Finn's back. Like, that was their big pop moment for the night. And he's been in kind of this holding pattern ever since, and now he's jobbing to Roman. It doesn't seem, on the surface, to make much sense. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on it going forward.
Agreed.
Who knows? But I hope he doesn't bring out the Demon unless he absolutely needs it, because that shit will get really, really boring really quickly if he uses it all the time. I don't think he should bring it out for the Fatal 5-Way. If he's going one-on-one with Lesnar, bring out the Demon to give him that extra edge. If he's going one-on-one with anyone big, bring it out. But don't bring it out willy-nilly and ruin it. Like, they brought, way back in the day, they brought it out almost right off the bat. against Seth. Demon Kang, Demon Kang, where are, remember that horrible thing? Seth's going around looking for the Demon Kang. you know, I don't think they should have brought it out on the Raw.
Yeah.
But so hold off on the Demon, but at the same time, like, why are we jobbing him out?
I don't know. Well, hey, our main event for the night, just to finish up here on Raw, Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins. Does anybody give a shit at this point? I mean, last week we were pretty hard on both these guys. We're tired of Seth Rollins' knee, and we're tired of Bray Wyatt kind of just getting the short end of the stick on the card. So Seth has no identity right now, and Bray's shtick is over and done. So I don't know.
Thank God they don't seem to be pushing Seth's leg that much anymore.
Okay.
Thank God that's he seems to have finally healed his leg. So, but at the same time, like, no one cared about this match. We know Bray ain't going to win clean.
Yep.
So, you know, you have to assume there's going to be something screwy, and sure enough, out comes Samoa Joe, the one dude with nothing to do tonight. I got nothing better to do. Might as well come out and interfere in the main event.
Just because Seth Rollins here.
Yeah. I mean,
that's my job.
The only thing that the only upside is, you know, Bray double sister Abigail's them and stands tall at the end and says Bray things.
Follow the buzzards. Let's not beat this horse to death any further. Look, there were some other cool, interesting things. Titus O'Neil came out and did Enzo Amore's thing. What did you think about that?
That was good.
That was pretty good, right?
That was good. Titus has definitely been very up or very down. This was one of his ups. That whole little thing. I mean, obviously Enzo and Cass falling down the card a bit.
Yeah.
Feuding with Titus.
If you're working with Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews and. Oof. Oh boy, guys!
Yeah, at least Apollo fully did his heel turn. He needs that. Like
way long overdue.
He needed it. He needed something to do. We'll see where this goes. This could be an entertaining pairing between the two teams. Maybe we get something good out of this.
Speaking of teams, we had a massive, unexpected kind of heel turn. No pun intended with a heel kick or whatever he did. Goldust turned on R-Truth.
Yes, he did.
What happened?
Yes, he did. And again, this tag team wasn't going anywhere. And this is a couple of low to mid carders fighting against each other.
Yeah.
We'll probably get some good matches out of this. But, you know, again, it's one of those ones where, you know, they needed something to make us care. I'm now more interested in this than I was before. But what does it say when Goldust hits R-Truth and the crowd goes, "Thank you, Goldust"? That's...
Well, all right then. We'll let you guys read into that what you think. Okay, last thing real quick. Look, I watch these on Hulu because I'm a cord cutter and I don't have cable TV. So are the Cruiserweights exclusively on the 205 Live show now? I haven't seen them on the main roster.
No, they'll usually have a match on Raw, but the problem is unless you're watching the 3-hour Raw, they'll cut a bunch of stuff that they don't think is quote-unquote as important. Titus and Apollo and Enzo and Cass, cut. The Gold Dust heel turn, cut. The Cruiserweights, you know, this is why when you get to a pay-per-view and you actually can see the Cruiserweight match, no one cares because we don't know what the storyline is because everyone who watches on Hulu can't see it unless you watch it the day of the 3-hour version or you stream it online, stream the full version. You have no idea what's up with the Cruiserweights.
Yeah.
And so that's helping it's not helping the division. It's helping bury the division, that division needs enough work as it is. It needs characters, it needs storylines, needs people to invest. And that's not going to happen if you're just watching the Hulu version. And by the time, you know, the full length ones on the network, it's been a month and it's completely, no one's watching. It's irrelevant. So
well, let's make a note to talk about in a future episode about cord cutting and programming in that sense, and how I personally, as a longtime cord cutter now, how I think they could potentially do things differently in a much better way.
Oh, the note has been made.
Oh, well done. Well, hey guys, let's turn the corner and head home for Backlash with some SmackDown Live.
All right, SmackDown Live came to us this week from Manchester, New Hampshire. It's the go-home show for Backlash. So we're going to get a lot of stuff wrapped up, a lot of stuff set up for this weekend.
Well, let's get through it real quick because I want to get to our fantasy picks this week.
Yes.
Kevin Owens totally ripped off Jericho's highlight reel. I'm so tired of the Kevin Owens and Jericho thing. It died. Let it die. It needs to move on from that.
I don't mind having a little bit of, you know, I don't mind having Kevin Owens call back to it a little bit, but we definitely need to phase out of it at some point. He's obviously getting a little bit of residual heat by taking some of Jericho's shtick, but I will be happy when he moves on completely from it as well.
I thought he had moved on with this whole Face of America's image that he had built, and I really like that and whatever, even though he's Canadian and he's got the U.S. title, and there's that whole mix up.
He speaks French because he can.
Yeah, right.
Which is
a thing now, apparently.
Yeah, we're back to foreigner heat again, you know. Oh, we haven't seen it since Rusev and since Jack Swagger and that whole thing, and a little bit with Del Rio, but
now we got Jinder Mahal.
Now we have another guy to throw foreigner heat at. What's interesting with Jinder, you know, he came out and got some foreigner heat again this week. AJ calling out the good old US of A against these two foreign bad guys. You know, the interesting thing about Jinder. So when he first came back and was doing his whole heel thing, and he comes out and the first thing he says is, "You Americans, blah blah blah, you just hate me because I'm Indian, blah blah blah." What's interesting, apparently, according to him, I heard this on Talk Is Jericho, I think, originally he was just going to come out and give a heel promo, and Vince, at the last minute, stepped in and said, no, let's do the foreigner thing and get that foreigner heat. And Jinder said, you know, well, he was right, I went out and I got a ton of heat from it, so it worked. And I say, yeah, but how do you know you wouldn't have gotten heat just by being just an asshole heel?
Yeah.
You know, why do we have to go to this foreigner thing again? To me, it's cheap heat, the same way Mick Foley's cheap pop. This is cheap heat.
Yep.
It is a quick and dirty and easy way.
It's lazy.
You know, Kevin Owens doing the French thing, I think, is funny because it's not just, I'm from a different country. It's, you know, French sounds like an arrogant language.
It's hilarious when he does it in England, too, because they're not. Well, last week we were in the UK, so it was hilarious when he would do it there because they don't like the French.
Yeah, of course.
Right. So that makes it even more funny. And the fact that he's doing it to Americans is kind of like, well, yeah.
It's kind of funny, too.
We don't care, but yeah, whatever.
We don't care, but all right, you know, you're being a prick and speaking a foreign language, and it's...
Congratulations.
let me put it this way. It works better for me with Kevin Owens than it does with Jinder Mahal, yes. Where it just makes me feel a little awkward. Maybe that's just me being overly sensitive because of these PC times we live in, but maybe that's it, or maybe it's just because at this point it's been done to death. I don't care anymore about the foreigner shit. Like, let's stick to getting people over as heels by them, just by their deeds, by being assholes, just pure assholes, nothing to do with their nationality.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of knee injuries with Seth Rollins, we have another one of those to talk about. Apparently, Jinder Mahal injured AJ Styles' leg.
Kevin Owens, when he came back and hit him with the title. I hope this is not something that lasts to the weekend. I hope this is just a way to win the match and AJ doesn't come out limping on Sunday, please, because We are seeing how many times these leg injury spots just don't go over well. Seth, I think, has been completely hampered in his matches over the last few weeks by having a, quote, injured leg. Even he legit did injure it against when Joe took him down in the Kokita Clutch before WrestleMania. It was legit injury. But by the time, you know, it was all said and done, he was still selling it. And it was ruining his matches by making us overfocus on it. And Seth's style is such that he'll go from selling the hell out. He can't even stand up on the leg. And the next thing you know, he's on the top rope doing a giant jump flippy move and lands on it just fine. Austin Aries did that this week where he's selling the hell out of his leg. And all of a sudden he's doing these flying moves and he's able to put weight on it. And AJ's another one. He's a flyer. He's going to bounce around the ring. If you take out his leg, then all of a sudden now we're focused on the leg and we're not focused on the match. You know, I don't mind, like, looking back, like, say, like a Bret Hart match where he comes out and all the focus is about him taking out a limb. I look at those matches and I say, this is fine. This is storytelling. It's a technical thing. When they come in and it's just, you know, it's to me, it's another lazy thing to say, oh, well, his leg's hurt. That's, you know, why he's flopping around. That's why Kevin KO may pull out a win because of his leg this week. And it's like, no, just let them have a freaking match. KO can go over. AJ can go over. Neither one's going to be hurt by a loss at this point.
No.
Neither of them needs the win. You can have a good match without it.
I think you could make the argument that Kevin Owens needs it to reprove himself. You know, he's been kind of Jericho's butt buddy for the last year or so, and I think he needs to reestablish his dominance.
You're right. He needs to come out and be the strong, scary Kevin Owens that he used to be. Yeah. I agree. He doesn't need an injury angle with his opponent to do that. Agreed. I think that actually doesn't help him.
Yeah. Hey, have you been seeing these Lana promos with her being a striptease dancer or something
on the
chair?
The countdown to the Lana implosion begins. Ugh. It is continuing. This is just Emelina part. They repackaged her with the old Emelina gimmick. This is going to be atrocious. I that is all.
I don't even understand what caused them to even pull her away from Rusev. That was one of the best kind of advocate pairings maybe that I've seen in a long time. I mean, you could go back to all the way back to the 90s.
I blame Dolph Ziggler.
Ugh. That whole thing was absolutely the reason. Hey, we had another episode of Fashion Files
this
week. Yes. Ba-bang.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, we were down on it a little bit last week, but I mean, they fully came back and redeemed themselves.
With flying freaking colors. You can.
This is the new Edge and Christian.
Oh my God. You can freeze frame every bit of this skit and find little Easter eggs in the background. Yes. They're ripping out these jokes at a mile a minute. The timing is incredible. Like it is so, I look forward to it every week. They're so over with me right now.
Yes.
It's brilliant.
But they're being set up against the Usos, which is the interesting thing. So I don't see them in that caliber top of the card tag matches yet.
Oh, we'll get to our calls for who's going to win the match, okay, but okay. We can just say right now, it ain't going to be Breezango. they are not winning the belts off the Usos,
no.
but they're definitely spending time making them look good over the last few weeks. I hope that after this, either the feud with the Usos continues after Backlash, or we still get Fashion Files somewhere. I hope they still have a presence after the, you know, after this weekend, whether or not they're in the hunt for the titles. I hope they continue with it because, God, it's entertaining.
Speaking of the Usos, I want to say one thing real quick. You don't have to respond or you don't have to. I need a minute. What the fuck is going on with the Usos and their entrances and somehow now all of a sudden they're prison thugs? What happened to the honorable Samoan haka that they used to do that was awesome and the crowd was involved and they did all this stuff and all of a sudden they're coming out with bandanas? They might as well have AK-47s slung over their shoulders. I don't understand. They got gold grills, whatever the hell you call those things. I simply don't understand the allure of this.
It's called being a heel, Nick.
I get being a heel. But you
That's
are perpetuating a stereotype that is just not even. They look like Latino thugs, but they're actually like
That's
badass
racist.
Samoan dude. I don't know. Is it? Why are they doing it?
It's because it's heel work. And honestly, like I think they're honestly their promo this week, it grated on me a little bit because I felt like they're just yelling at me, or yelling at Breezango. They're just yelling, but honestly, it was a smooth, like it felt natural. They've got a couple catchphrases they're working on in there. I personally think this heel angle is the best thing that could have happened to the Usos. I was completely done with their whole haka face paint thing. They were boring as faces to me. I like the haka.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool to have that out there. I like the fact that we had guys out there doing that that weren't foreign heels. And you know,
but they had this crazy high flyer kind of.
They still do.
Yeah,
there's not faces now. They're crazy high flying heels. That they're okay. And they're assholes. That's the whole point. They come out. They're angry, thuggy assholes. And in real life, these guys are kind of they talk a little bit more like that. I've seen them on Talking Smack. We've seen them on Talking Smack, and that's just how they kind of naturally are.
Yeah.
Just turned up to 11 and evil. That's what it is. That's
okay.
All it is.
Fair enough.
I think it's good.
Fair enough. Point counterpoint taken. Well, hey, the ladies are back, but they're doing the whole factions thing again, which I think is still just something to get more TV time for more of them. We talked about this last week where the roster is so stacked with female superstars right now that they have trouble getting them all TV time. And you know, I think this again, we're still seeing this 3-on-3, 4-on-4.
Yep, get them all out there at once.
Get them all, everybody on. Oh.
At least we had a 1-on-1 match this week, and there was some swerves of who was outside and everything. But you know, at least for the most part, it was Naomi versus Carmella in this match, and I thought it was an entertaining match. I thought they had a lot of interesting booking ideas in it, and for as long as it was a long match, but it kept me entertained the entire time. There's always something
Carmella.
Going on.
I'll say this: Ellsworth is still one of my favorite characters in the WWE right now in a long time. I love his thing that he's doing.
He warms my heart, man. Just the real life story of that guy just warms my heart. Every time he's on I don't begrudge him a single second of any TV time or any exposure at all. Bless his heart. I'm so glad he's still involved with it. And he's obviously having a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to get over a new...
Duh!
He's trying to get that over. I think it's almost working. It's working.
If a quarter of the actual roster had his ability to sell and act... you know, overtly act like that. I mean, we'd have a whole different ball game here. But I love watching that guy. He's such a character. And then he gets thrown out for doing nothing, really.
Yeah.
He got thrown out from ringside, and then the two other ones got thrown out from ringside.
Again.
And they just made a whole scene.
Interesting booking with it, like keeping things moving on every side of the ring. It was great. So.
Yeah. Oh, so let's talk about the 800-pound elephant in the room that's been shoved up our asses for the last 3 weeks, and that's the Shinsuke Nakamura and Dolph Ziggler thing that is so hyped.
It needs to happen. It needs to happen now. Stop talking about it. Ziggler is doing his damnedest to get this over. He has put in so much work and so much spittle.
I mean, you'd think this was the Tyson and Holyfield.
It's going to have a big match feel when it finally happens. It's going to.
I hope so.
By the time people are so ready for it at this point, when it actually happens, they're going to go nuts. I think it was last week or the week before when they had a little confrontation and they actually got into a little physicality. And from what I hear from the house shows, they've been working house shows together. Ziggler has not won a single one, if that's any indication of what's going to happen at the pay-per-view. But from what I've been hearing...
it's likely practicing their routines as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I also getting the rhythm with each other. Yeah. And also because, Nakamura is going to work pretty snug with him.
Yep.
I like the fact that in their small time, they actually did fight in the ring on TV. It looked like it was snug as hell. Nak was kneeing the crap out of Ziggler, and they got into some genuine shoot mat wrestling there. Ziggler is obviously a fantastic mat wrestler.
Yep.
And Nakamura's got a ton of history there too. I think I'm ready for the damn match. It's going to be a good match. Just how good, I cannot wait to see.
In 3 days!
Just please, God, let's let it happen now. Shut up, stop talking about it, let's do it.
All right, let's talk about Orton and Baron Corbin. Orton wins another one clean, and Baron Corbin continues to look like a doofus.
Well, he doesn't. I mean, he's won so many recently. Why have him lose clean to Orton? Where does Corbin
he's
go from
He's not even
this?
In the title picture right now. You're
leading he's definitely up. Not now. He's just lost to the champ. Lost clean to the champ.
You're leading up to Orton and Jinder Mahal, and the whole purpose of this match was to have Jinder come out and do his stand tall thing afterwards. But why have Baron lose if he's in that same picture? Why not put a jobber out there for
Orton? He's obviously
not
in the same
with.
Picture. That's why he's fighting Sami Zayn on Sunday, and that's
fair.
You know what I mean? Like they're basically they're going to make him, I think, look strong on Sunday with Sammy. I think Sammy's going to be told to put him over, make him look really beefy because he just lost a big one to Randy.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. We'll
that
see.
It feels like it was a, hey, go out there and take one for the team and we'll get you one back.
Absolutely feels that way.
So I would expect we'll get to our calls here in just a little bit. So, hey, one little note on Jinder Mahal here before we move on. I think the Singh brothers, his little buddies that are coming out, this is a complete rework of that whole recipe they did with Rollins right after he turned on the Shield with the Noble and Mercury security team.
That's the old thing. They're the two little henchmen running around alongside. That's been around forever.
I would keep an eye out for a few of the little Mark tactics that where they'll interfere with stuff all the time. And,
of course. Absolutely.
Just textbook heel kind of moves and whatnot.
Absolutely. And the only difference is these guys, they look, I don't know if they are twins, but they certainly look like twins. Yeah. And on Talking Smack after the show, when they're standing behind him like a couple of little Muppets, it's really funny looking, I'll tell you, because Jinder is freaking huge. Like I always forget just how big that guy is, and those two guys are not huge.
No.
And so standing around next to him and matching outfits is it is a great visual image and it's funny as hell.
What is his? Is he up to like 6'8", 6'10"?
He's 6'6". He's 6'6", 6'7", wow. Something like that. Okay. Yeah, he's at the double check, but I think
he
like
stood
6'6".
Pretty tall over Randy. I remember that.
He's Randy's like height 6'4". Or tire. Randy's like 6'5" and a half. That's Randy's true. A big boy.
That's true.
So for Jinder to be at his height or perhaps even taller is saying Jinder is also a large man.
Well, hey, you brought up talking smack. We can't get out of this without talking about what the hell Eric Rowan did.
Dude.
If you guys have not seen Talking Smack for this week, you have to go watch. Just the Jinder Mahal thing is fun, but just fast forward to the Eric Rowan bit. It is one of the creepiest, weirdest things I've ever seen in a long time. Shane McMahon is there as a co-host with Renee, and they both sell the shit out of it.
Yeah.
But he pulls all his masks out. He does a little pseudo Pennywise sheep, pops a balloon.
That was great.
So I...
The timing of that, his timing was great. I loved how one of my favorite things about it, and you don't see this enough, is that he really took his time.
Yes.
With everything. They let him just go on this forever. They didn't rush him. They didn't push through. They just sat and made it more and more and more awkward. And he never broke. You never saw the acting with it. He stayed with it. And it just got weirder and weirder and weirder.
He initially just walked in the middle of them talking.
Yeah.
So part of me feels like this might have been, and Shane even looked like he was caught off guard legitimately.
I think that was a work.
And I'm wondering if it was a shoot.
No, that was definitely, that's the great thing about Talking Smack is everyone always like, well, it could have been because they do such a good job working you on it.
Yeah.
This is his Miz moment where you're sitting there going, was it, wasn't it? Obviously this was, I personally think obviously it was planned. And Shane and Renee did a great job reacting and selling him and helping put him over. But this is the most interesting thing Eric Rowan has done probably ever.
Yeah.
It's creepier. It's creepier than Bray Wyatt's been in years.
Yes.
He out-creeped Bray Wyatt. And I can't wait to see where they go with this. I hope they know what to do with it because man, that was gold.
I'm not sure where they're going to go with it, but, that was absolutely amazing. Hey, before we get into the preview and do our picks, our fantasy picks, let's talk about a couple of things that happened in NXT before we get to Chicago, this Saturday for TakeOver.
Yeah. Real quick NXT note. I just, the first thing that hit me is just what a beast Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre now, looks like. Now that he's come back, like I saw some stuff from him in WCPW when he was fighting over there. He looked great, but man, just the outfit they have him in, the shape he's gotten himself into, the look he's developed. When he left, he looked like a little wee baby. And now that he's come back, he looks like a freaking monster and frankly, a future title holder. This
Absolutely.
Guy is going to go long way now. And it's, you know, I remember when he got Future Endeavored 3 years ago, Mick Foley sent him this really nice letter saying, dude, go out, make your name. Don't stress about it. Come back when you're worth something, when you've added some worth to yourself. And it's exactly what he freaking did. And he looked like a monster in his match this week, against Sean Maluda. It's only a matter of time. Another guy from NXT who's going to get called up and just dominate.
Absolutely. So the next one we wanted to talk about was Ono and Cien Almas. Look, what's your thoughts on this one?
I mean, Cien, I think, has been bounced around. He's been done a little dirty by NXT. He's starting to actually hit a stride now. He's got a bit more of a good heel character going. I think at some point he's going to reform the Los Ingobernables and really take off. He's so talented. He's just such a great worker. Ono, the same way. Great worker. This match didn't give me quite what I wanted, but I love seeing the two work together. I don't know why Cassius Ono's his forearm finisher isn't working for me yet. Doesn't look as devastating as it should.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just this week. Two guys I expect so much from. We'll see what happens with them. Just one more thing about NXT is that at the very end, before we go into to the takeover on the weekend, last thing we see, Hideo Itami standing tall, whatever that means, over Bobby Roode.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the one match to the absolutely have to look forward to is the title match on Saturday with against Bobby Roode versus Itami.
Yep.
So that is going to be the match of matches for me. There is a ton of stuff going on this weekend in wrestling.
There's a whole ton
of stuff. There's so much wrestling happening this weekend.
Lord.
I cannot wait for tomorrow night. All of this stuff is going to kick off, and we'll have like 72 hours straight. I mean, more than that if you count Raw on Monday night, of just straight wrestling all weekend. Not to mention Alien movie is coming out this weekend. This weekend is going to be absolutely awesome.
Yeah, we are stacked with content for this coming weekend, and we haven't even started talking about indies yet. We'll get to them later. Let's give our picks for this weekend.
Yes.
All right, so first we've got TakeOver Chicago. Mm. TakeOver Chicago.
Is a stacked card.
It's stacked all weekend. The very first one that I've got on my list here, just announced this week.
Yes.
Eric Young versus Roderick Strong.
I've got to go Roderick Strong on this one. He showed up really nice against, I think, was it Itami he faced?
Itami, yep.
Yeah, Itami. With Itami facing Roode on Saturday, I don't know. I think he's a little pissed off about that loss. I'm going to give it to Roderick Strong.
I'm going to have to go Eric Young on this. Ooh. He's got Sanity on his side. I think there's going to be interference. I think this is a build of an ongoing feud. They're going to basically just put Roderick into the position that Ty Dillinger was just in, where yep. he's feuding with Sanity for a long time. I think that I don't think that NXT does the same kind of like 50-50 booking you see in the main roster. So I think that Roderick can afford to lose a few matches to Sanity before finally getting his babyface win at the end. I think it's going to be Eric Young.
Mm, interesting. So next, we've got the UK Championship, which is Pete Dunne facing off against Tyler Bate. What's your thoughts?
Well, real quick, I just want to say Jim Ross is calling this.
Yes.
I could just tune in just for that.
Yes.
I'm going to tune in. But these two guys are freaking awesome. This is going to be a badass match. It's a tough call because really it comes down to, does WWE want to go into summer and the beginning of the whole UK, like where they really call up the whole UK belt and the whole division, do they want to go into that with a heel champion or a face champion?
That's a really great point. I didn't think
comes
about that.
Down to that's either one could win. This is a coin flip. I don't know what's going on in WWE's head. Personally, I think you put it on Pete Dunne. I'm going to call Pete Dunne. They've been building his character. He's got a lot more of an interesting character. I think you want to have your baby faces fighting up all summer.
Agreed.
So I think it's going to go. I think it's going to Pete Dunne.
100% agree. I'm with you on Pete Dunne for sure. Hey, for the tag titles, we've got AOP versus DIY.
This is another tough one. Does DIY get revenge? It's ladders. I think it's a tough call, but I'm going to have to go Authors of Pain. These guys, they need to have them just be as strong as frickin' possible. I think DIY is getting ready to get called up, in my opinion, especially with the revival out for another couple of weeks or months on the main roster. We were talking about this, the tags situation on Monday and Tuesdays are... It's a little weak right now. They need someone else who's dynamic up there. I think DIY is getting the call. I think they lose this match.
I think they are getting the call, and I think that's the reason they win this match as a final hurrah before they get called up.
And go out the tag champs?
It's not. Kevin Owens went out the NXT champion. I mean, we've seen a bunch of this happen. Charlotte went out, I believe, as the champion before she came up. So, you know, I think this is the last hurrah for DIY. And they go out big as the tag champs before they get called up.
All right. Well, then the next one we've got to talk about, the three-way women's championship, Asuka versus Ruby Riott versus Nikki Cross.
This is the one I think I'm mostly excited to see on Saturday, believe it or not, the three-way versus these three ladies, because just Asuka and Ruby Riott in there, and much less Nikki Cross. I think Ruby Riott's going to sneak in and take this one. She's been getting built up. She's been getting a lot of hype. She's a hell of a wrestler. She's got a chip on her shoulder, and I think she's going to win this one.
I can already see that they are just drooling over Ruby Riott, the marketing they can do with her, especially when she gets called to the main roster, and she's getting a whole demographic that they don't actually have right now as far as women's wrestlers.
Yeah. She's a Becky Lynch with a punk version of Becky Lynch. Yeah,
much, much punker Becky Lynch.
She's a grappler. She's good at, she's got a couple of submissions, I think.
She can fly around.
Absolutely. She's the whole package, in my opinion.
Big upside with her. And I like what Nikki Cross is doing too. Like, I think that she's got one of the best crazy characters I've seen in a long time.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a great match. It's interesting because I think that originally this was supposed to have Ember Moon in it too. She's injured, so they're waiting on her. I don't think anyone's taking the title off of Asuka.
No.
Unless it's Ember Moon. So they're waiting for a one-on-one later on. I think Asuka comes out of this one, still the champ. And she goes on to eventually get beaten by Ember Moon sometime later, because no one else has looked like, I mean, I don't think Ruby Riott or Nikki Cross are ready to be the women's champ. Neither of them have the prestige to take the title off of Asuka after she's now won more matches in a row than Goldberg by pinfall or submission. She's held the championship longer than almost anybody. She's had the longest women's championship of all time in NXT, possibly in the main roster. I don't know. I've got to look at that again. Asuka's going home with it. She's staying with it.
That's fair. And I want to say, just as an asterisk, this is my prediction of Ruby Riott winning this is not to take anything away from the massive achievement that Asuka has earned and gained in the NXT. I think she is one of the most phenomenal female wrestlers we've seen in a long time. I think she's on a fast track to the WWE. And, you know, it's, for me, it's a toss up, but I think they've been pushing Ruby Riott so hard in the promo side of things. It would be a little silly if they didn't give it to her at this point.
So you're calling Ruby Riott?
Ruby Riott on the upset. Yeah.
All right. We got to put money on these bets, man, because I think I've got you beat here. And then the main event. The main event, Bobby Roode versus Hideo Itami, NXT Championship.
I got to give this one to Itami.
Really?
I think they're building him up. I think the Japanese guy, the Japanese contingent is making a really big push. I think his go to sleep is one of the most over finishers right now. I can see where there are pros and cons for both of these guys. In the ring and winning the championship. So both of them are really over. Both of them are incredibly good wrestlers. Both of them are probably going to end up in WWE soon.
Oh, yeah.
It's a no-brainer. It's a complete toss-up who wins this. What we are guaranteed is to get one hell of a match out of these two.
It's going to be a good match. I have a feeling it'll be a hard-hitting match.
Absolutely.
I personally think Rude's going to retain. I don't think he's had the title for long enough to lose it yet. They want a little more prestige for him. I think it's going to be one of those ones where they have a rematch or something, and Itami might win it then. It depends on if they want Bobby on the main roster. I just don't know where they'd fit him right now. And he's so good at being the main guy in NXT right now. I it's been a while since Samoa Joe had it for a bit that we've had a heel champ, and especially one that's had it for as long as Bobby Roode. It feels like a long time that he's had it. And also I think that he's good brand wise for NXT. He looks good as the champ. He feels good as the champ. I think he retains.
Yeah. Hey, we can't not give a quick shout out to some special appearances that you should be on the lookout for. They're not official, but you should keep an eye out for them. Hojo, Shirai, and Cole might all be making little surprise pop-up appearances.
Yeah, I don't
maybe
know if
for
we
interferences, have, who knows?
I don't know if we've officially heard if Adam Cole signed with WWE or not, but
there was a whole shakeup with Bullet Club.
Well, he got fired from Bullet Club. Right. I know that. I saw that. And then
Young Bucks stepped in, or was it I think it was Young Bucks.
Well, the bottom line is that he is now free from his storylines out of WWE, and there was rumors he was coming, so we may see him. I don't think any of these three will be in matches, or interfering. I don't think. I could see
one of the two ladies jumping into the Fatal Three with Asuka. Triple Threat.
Maybe
because a Triple Threat is no DQ. Right.
I definitely feel there's a stable that's going to happen there with Asuka and those two.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be one of those ones where like they always do the takeovers. You see them in the audience. They're sitting there in the special seats with their suits on. And they go, oh, look who's here. What are they doing here? What could they possibly? Oh, right. They're going to be coming out this week on NXT. So I think that's the that's going to be the case. I am so excited for those two ladies, Hojo and Io Shirai. I've seen some of their stuff in Japan. There's a we'll put a link to a match they had against each other in Japan. They can work so well. Hojo has one of the best elbow drops ever. Not right now. Ever.
Yeah. Better than Macho Man. Better than Shane.
Jesus Christ.
Better than just all of them.
So good. So I'm excited to see them come out. I'm excited to see if they form a stable with Asuka. It's going to be fantastic. I saw them on Lucha Underground fighting against Pentagon Dark, and they just are, they're monsters. It's going to be great.
All right, well, let's move on and talk about the Backlash card, the main WWE card that we have for the pay-per-view on Sunday evening. Kicking things off in the early, or the pre-show, we have two kickoff matches between Aiden English and Ty Dillinger.
This one's going to be Ty. Aiden English ain't winning. He's not winning shit.
No.
Ty is still in his crushing the jobbers phase. They don't really have a whole lot else they're doing with him.
Gotch got canned. Aiden's working right now, so there's no way that this goes to anybody but Ty Dillinger.
Absolutely. It's all Ty, and I'm fine with that.
Yep. The second pre-show match that we have is the Luke Harper and Eric Rowan kind of renewed rivalry thing that's been kicked off, and this was off the back of Talking Smack at the last minute. Eric Rowan's crazy thing, he asked Shane McMahon for a match against Luke Harper, and he says, you know what? You've got a match at Backlash.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's on the pre-show because it was kind of last minute and we don't really have a storyline for this. It may be on the main show. I don't know yet. But to me, it feels like a pre-show match. It feels like a match that we don't really have any build for. No one really cares about yet. Maybe they'll do something interesting. Their match, the last match they had on SmackDown was not very good. No. So we'll see what happens here.
He will totally win me over if he comes out with the clown sheep mask on, holding a single balloon, and walks down the ramp with it.
That would be great.
That would go over really quickly.
It's hard for me to figure out who's going to win because Eric won the last one. So just because he won the last one, because of 50-50 booking, I'm saying Luke Harper wins this one.
Let me flip this coin. Luke Harper. All right, so moving on to the main card. Sami Zayn versus Baron Corbin is first up. What are your thoughts?
Baron Corbin. There's no way that they're
really?
Gonna, yeah, oh, there's no way Baron Corbin loses to Randy Orton clean.
That's
on
fair.
SmackDown. And Sami Zayn runs around looking like a goofball. Mm-hmm. And there's no way Sami wins this. I say there's no way. Obviously, there is a way, but why? Why?
Because Sami Zayn is the ultimate underdog, and that's why I think he's going to walk away with this one. I think he's going to beat Baron Corbin, even with him taking one for the team and taking the loss to Randy Orton. I still think they're going to give this one to Sami Zayn in the upset.
All right, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I think that Sami Zayn's been on a downward trend. I think if they're going to continue this feud with the two of them, he's going to be fighting upwards for a while.
Sure, absolutely. I got you with that one. Next, we're doing the ladies. We got a 3-on-3 tag match, which is going to be Naomi, Charlotte, and Becky versus Natalia, Tamina, and Carmella.
The welcoming committee. I'm ready for that to be retired already.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to give this to Natalia, Tamina, and Carmella, just because I think that there's going to be some sort of shenanigans with the face ladies.
Ellsworth.
Ellsworth may play a part. I think there's going to be some quote-unquote miscommunication or something.
Right.
You know, Charlotte's still not quite a face. Like, we don't really know what she is, if they're going to keep her face, if they're going to turn her heel. We don't know.
I think Charlotte could do a complete flip on the other two and just totally ruin their day and somehow team up with them. Charlotte is conniving, and she's smart, and she's got that kind of, you know, blood in her veins. There's got to be something interesting that comes out of this that's more than a 3-on-3 tag match.
Sure. And if you know, as she says, her next goal is to fight Naomi for the title, they're not going to have her fight
right.
her as a face.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, I definitely think that Charlotte will swerve and go heel.
If it goes clean, I could see something after the match where she locks Naomi up in a figure eight in
exactly.
order to start the storyline.
If they do win, and again, I'm not calling that, I'm saying that the heels win, but if the faces do win, if Becky, Charlotte, Naomi do win, I agree. Charlotte's turning on them right away, and we're going to get a build for Naomi Charlotte.
I agree. Usos versus Breezango. We're so excited about these two teams.
Oh, but, my God. Can we just cut this match and just have more fashion files?
Yeah, exactly. Just Usos.
Usos are winning.
Next.
Usos are winning. Next.
The penultimate hype machine, Dolph Ziggler facing off against the new guy, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Another one that I think it's pretty easy to call.
Yeah,
there's
Nakamura.
There's no way he loses. There's
right.
no way. It's just going to be a matter of how bad he beats up Dolph Ziggler.
I'm interested to see those two styles with each other. An extreme kind of selling style with Ziggler, with a couple of really good stable moves. Shinsuke Nakamura, the striker that he is, the strong style. I'm really anxious to see how these two work together in the ring.
I'm really
anxious to see his entrance at a pay-per-view for the first time.
Big WWE pay-per-view entrance is going to be great. He always does something special with it.
I want 27 violinists out there playing it.
And honestly, you hit something on the head there. Ziggler is one of the best sellers in WWE. Sometimes almost too much, to the point where, like, sometimes he oversells.
He spends half the match exhausted hanging off of one rope.
Oh, God, I can't wait to see him selling some of Shinsuke's moves. That's going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to this match a lot. This could be the best match on the card. I hope it is.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, we get to our second title match of the night, which will be Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles. I think this one might sneak up and be match of the night really quickly.
It has every possibility to be. Both these guys are fantastic. I'm really excited for this match. The only thing I have to say is please let it not be an injury angle.
I just
really hope. I haven't seen anything on WWE's media that AJ is injured, so thankfully it may not be an injury angle. I think Kevin Owens retains. I think there'll be some sort of shenanigans. I don't know if he's going to beat AJ clean. He needs to. I think that would be good for him to beat AJ clean, but I don't think he will. But I do think he will retain.
Yeah, absolutely. The interesting part of this is I think this should be the WWE Championship match, and the other one that we're going to talk about now should be the U.S. Championship match. But I digress. Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship.
I literally could care less about what happens in this match. I'm interested in the outcome.
I'm interested in what it sets up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could care less about either one of these two
That I can see an easy argument for it going either way. I can see why they would keep it on Randy and just have this be, you know, a transitional feud for him. I can see Jinder winning and them just going down a whole different path with a big heel championship who's doing a bunch of new things we haven't seen before, which they need because Randy's about as exciting as wet cheese.
Yeah.
You know, and at this point, I personally think they need to take the title off of Randy, give it to somebody else, go in a different direction, and keep it exciting because he's not exciting. And when he comes out looking like he'd rather be anywhere else but a WWE ring with that title on him, it looks bad. And when the few moments that Jinder stole the title and drove away in the limo and got the pictures taken with it, it actually made me pretty excited.
Yep.
Like, that made me excited for it.
You know what it reminded me of? Early Rock.
A little bit, without any charisma.
He has the charisma. He doesn't quite have the chops. He doesn't have the mic chops figured out yet.
He's still really nervous. You can tell he's nervous
but
in the mic.
But he's already in that kind of heely position, because if you remember the early Rocky Maivia that left the Acolytes, whatever they're...
The Nation of Domination.
The Nation of Domination, thank you. When his first coming out, everybody booed him. He didn't like it. He had all the blue feathers and shit on.
Oh, that was when he first came, before the Nation of Domination. That was early Rocky Maivia, big smiley... Chia pet haired Rocky.
But when he made the transition to The Rock and he started coming out in singles, there was a little bit of the same kind of feelings that I had with what's going on with Jinder right now. I could totally see Jinder working up his chops, his mic chops, building on that charisma and that he's the heel stuff that he's got going on right now, and really turning into a character.
See, I don't think that he's got that what it takes to be The Rock per se. I see what you're saying, where he definitely has a similar kind of look and feel, but I don't think his charisma is quite there yet. I think that may be one of the reasons why he doesn't win, is they're not going to pull the trigger on a guy who doesn't quite have those chops. He's not as exciting in the ring. His ring work it's fine. It's acceptable, but it's not outstanding. His match with AJ this week was obviously AJ just carrying him the entire time, doing all the work, doing all the selling, and Jinder throwing a bunch of elbows and knees.
Right.
So I don't think that Jinder is anywhere near The Rock's level, but I think that he could be a good heel champ. Again, if they hide his weaknesses and play to his strengths, I personally hope he wins this. I'm going to call it for Jinder, not because I think he will, but because I want him to.
Or more because you don't want Randy to have it.
Mostly because I don't want Randy to have it.
There we go.
I'm done with Randy.
I agree with you. This could go either way. I could honestly care less about either one. I'm going to call it for Jinder because I don't want Randy to have the belt. Dude needs to retire and go away, and we need to be able to move things forward, not continue to tread water with somebody that... just is sitting there just collecting a paycheck, honestly. So that's our calls, guys. We'd love to hear from you. Come over to the Facebook page. Give us a like on the Facebook page. We'd love to hear what you think is going to happen. Get your picks in before Saturday and Sunday and let us know what you think is going to go down on both NXT TakeOver and Backlash this weekend. Quick little announcement. I wanted to send congratulations from the show out to Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan for their new baby. They finally squeezed one out. Or Daniel did, or
squeezed out a little baby vegan,
whatever innuendo you want to take that as. But yeah, congratulations on the new member of the family, guys.
And then, so really quickly, wanted to get into some indie news. Obviously, we got a ton of stuff going on in WWE and NXT this weekend, but also keep an eye out for the Best of Super Juniors tournament with New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's going on right now. What a stacked card! You had Jushin Thunder Liger against Taka Michinoku. You've got Will Ospreay against Ricochet again in a match that, you know, last time they did this in New Japan, everyone was talking about for months afterwards. There's a ton of Martin Skrull is over there. Marty Skrull. It's so many good matches to watch.
Hey, I heard a rumor that WWE is going to take away Hojo's massive elbow drop because that's, quote, Bayley's move.
Oh,
what is this shit?
God, I saw that on Wrestling Observer posted that, and I really hope this is
Meltzer?
One of those. That's Meltzer. I really hope this is one of those things where he is wrong, and this is just a rumor, and it's just someone just trying to get headlines and get hits. Oh God, Bayley's move!
Never mind.
Stop it. Hojo has the greatest elbow drop ever, and Bayley, fine. She
that's
needs
not
to stop
even
using
her top signature move.
It's not, and it's another one of those, you know, like, obviously I love Macho Man's elbow drop, but he always kind of, like, it looked like he was just dropping an armpit on the dude's face. It wasn't, you know, it's what Bayley does. It doesn't look as good as what Hojo does, which is basically go straight up, come down like she's killing people.
Yes, knife to the chest kind of elbow drop.
Oh, man. other things going on with the indies. I just saw an article that said Sami Callihan is now working creative for CZW. So time to keep an eye on CZW, see what happens there.
Hey, we got Lucha coming back in 2 weeks as
yes,
well.
Yes. 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 I cannot. The second half of season 3. If you haven't seen any Lucha Underground, now is the time to catch up on seasons 1 and 2 on Netflix. It is fantastic. It's basically like a Mortal Kombat comic book exploitation film shot by Robert Rodriguez in a seedy warehouse fight club. Zombies and snake men, and oh, it's so good, man. It's so much fun, and it's so goony and just wonderful. I love Lucha Underground. Can't wait for it to come back. And what else we got going on with indies this week?
Well, I heard a rumor that Billy Corgan might be restarting NWA.
Looks
what
like
is
Billy
this
Corgan's
about?
Involved in NWA after his attempt to take over TNA. Now Impact has fell through. He still wants to have his fingers in wrestling, so it looks like he's going to go back and do something with NWA.
Interesting.
So, yeah, there's so much stuff going on with the indies. There's so much other stuff to watch, so much content. Hopefully we'll have some more time in future weeks to start talking about that. Obviously this week dominated by the WWE pay-per-views, but we'll have a lot more information going forward.
Next week is going to be a absolutely massive show, guys. We're going to do recaps of everything that happens this weekend, plus Raw and SmackDown and NXT from next week. So be sure to tune in. Check out the pay-per-views this weekend. We want to hear what you guys think, what your fantasy picks are, reactions to some of the matches or any surprises. Come over to the Facebook page or hit us up on Twitter at BWO Podcast. You can find us on Twitter and or Facebook there. But for me, you can find me at Data Center Dude.
And you can find me at Sir Ian Dangerous.
And until then, we'll see you at the next match.
This show is part of the Orbital Jigsaw Network. For more episodes, subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher Radio. For details and show notes from each episode, check us out, orbitaljigsaw.com.